Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Commissioner Berry, anything you want to add to the agenda?
No, sir. Thank you.
Commissioner May?
No, sir, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. How about Commissioner Stroberger?
No, thank you.
Commissioner Hoffberger?
Yes, sir. I would like to add an agenda item for the public explanation on the delayed pay for the 200 firefighters and why it's set in budget for 13 days waiting for someone to click approval.
Is this going to be at the end as a discussion item?
Yes, sir.
Do you recommend, Wes? We'll do it at the end as a discussion item. Okay.
Well, we don't need to add it to the agenda if it's just a discussion item. Oh, we just discussed.
Well, that's what you're
asking. It's not an action item.
Is it an action item or a discussion?
It is not. No, I just want a public explanation. That's all.
Okay,
no,
Wes, are you prepared
you
to discuss that?
You can do that in your opening words.
Go ahead, Commissioner. Huh?
A public explanation on the delayed pay for the 200 firefighters and why it's set in budgeting for 13 days.
Okay, we'll add it to the end. Is that right?
Little bit of tension at the beginning of the Escambia County Commission meeting. That tension sort of continued.
Also on social media is the requested removal of the firefighter company patches. These patches often represent the stations, the neighborhoods they serve, and the history of the departments, and in many cases, the fallen brothers who have died in the line of duty. For example, Station 17's patch has the initials of Lieutenant Terrell Jackson, who made the ultimate sacrifice in the line of duty. Removing these patches is removing a piece of the department and striking the very spirit that binds these firefighters together. I want to thank our county administrator because it seems after significant support from the community, this decision has been walked back. So thank you.
So it's phrased as praise, but it's praise for walking back a decision, which was a real mistake in the beginning. So that's two. Why didn't the firefighters get paid? I'd like a public explanation. I'm glad you walked back this terrible decision about the patches for the firemen. And then there was three. This, again, Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger. And this is the rough one. Here goes.
Wes, on October 23rd at 2:13 p.m., 2 weeks before this meeting, I called and asked for an agenda item. Hire an independent third party to evaluate our government and recommend how to hit the rollback budget with minimal community impact. You confirmed this was discussed with staff, yet it never made it to the agenda. I alerted upset constituents because I knew they would want to know we were addressing it. Allison, you said no one should block a commissioner's item, so I'm just wondering why mine was omitted.
A commissioner can bring an item. You know, the council members on the council, the commissioners on the commission can bring items. And she said 2 weeks ago, I asked for this item. I want to talk about hitting the rollback rate and seeing if maybe everybody's interested in hiring somebody to come in and help us do that next year. It's not on the agenda. Why not? Wes Moreno, county administrator.
I didn't know about it, honestly.
I'm sorry, that's Mike Kohler, but here goes.
I didn't know about it, honestly.
And by the way, if the commission chairman didn't know about the request, that's weird, too, because usually these things kind of all pro forma go through him, okay? But he didn't know that she had even asked for this? That's weird.
I didn't know about it, honestly.
No, I can answer that. Commissioner, as we spoke Wednesday morning, Stephanie and I have been working tirelessly with some initiatives within the budget office to bring some more information, some more data. And I believe what I communicated to you Wednesday morning was that we would like to come and speak with you a little bit further about that initiative. And I think we've expressed some concerns, but we also have collected some more data, some more information, and would like to present that to you before we brought that to the board, I believe is what I said Wednesday morning. Mm-hmm. And so that was the explanation Wednesday morning, that's the explanation tonight. And it'll be on the 17th agenda.
Okay, so it is going to be on the next agenda. We talked to you yesterday morning, basically, and I said we'd like to come talk to you a little bit more about this. But I think what Ashley wanted was she didn't want them to talk to her about it. She wanted it to be on the agenda. And I kind of see what Wes is saying, but also, if a commissioner asked for it to be on the agenda, you put it on the agenda, right?
So who made the decision not to put my requested item on the agenda?
I'm sorry?
Who made the decision not to put my requested item on the agenda?
That would fall with me.
Okay. Does that happen to other people on the board, or is that unique to me?
No.
Okay.
You can always bring it up. Well, I think we've the chairman normally does, Ashley, but or Commissioner Hotberger, but I didn't know about it. So I think this board has always entertained anyone that came up and asked for something, just like you did a little bit, and we said we'd discuss it. So
yeah, now you can add on items the day of the meeting, but those are supposed to be special circumstances, emergencies. There's a pressing need that it couldn't go through the regular process with public notice. And we actually, you know, we've many times criticized prior boards for doing too many add-ons. Like, you literally look at the agenda in the morning, you don't know what's going to be on the night agenda. That's a problem. And so it's supposed to go on in advance. And so the remedy of bringing something the day of is not a remedy, especially when she came to them 2 weeks ago and said, put this on. So, you know, Lumen May.
But Chairman, I mean, at the end of the day, any commissioner has the ability to bring forth an item.
We've always done that.
Because at the beginning of a meeting, you say, are there any items to be added to the agenda? You have the ability to add it as long as there's a second and a majority vote. It has to be added regardless of administration or the county administrator.
But that's not normal protocol, right? Like, our when we request something to go on an agenda, it should.
I mean, it's a lot of things I want to add to the agenda that doesn't get on there that I would bring it in past years. Yeah.
Well, why is that? If a commissioner wants to bring an item, you get the item. If a council member wants to bring the item, you get the item. They're all equal. It's a kind of a formality of who's chairman. This is not great. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Apple Market. Catering makes the holidays easy. Fresh, delicious meals for any gathering, stress-free and festive. Order today. Apple Market, 1021 Scenic Highway in Pensacola. Let's see here. Still dealing with the accident on Blue Angel Parkway and Mobile Highway. Not seeing any delays associated with that, but I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29 through that construction zone is seeing about a 9 to 11 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Now, remember the backdrop here is she's the one who had asked back in March about reviewing Wes's contract. She thinks that we ought to be looking for a different administrator, or at least wants to have that conversation. Nobody else was interested in having it. You say, why wouldn't she handle this problem in private? Well, apparently she's been trying to do some things, and she feels like she's getting thwarted, and the only way to solve that problem is, let's go public with it, right? I mean, that's presumably what's going on here is she felt like she got her request Chinese inspectioned, and she's not having it.
I think there should be at least a 48-hour notice for the public to see what's on the agenda before we just add it. I don't think any commissioner should not be able to add anything on the agenda. So.
But it doesn't even matter what your opinion is. It matters what the ordinance and the statutes present. And so anybody can add anything. It doesn't matter. If you think it should be 48, that's a good thought. I mean, but that's not what, I mean, Madam Attorney, that's not what the ordinance says. That's not what the statute says. You can add what you want to add to the agenda. If we want to change the ordinances or the rules, change them. Bring that to a meeting, have a public hearing, and change them. But we can bring anything that we want at any time that we get ready. Now, it may be, you know, politically correct to say 48 hours, Mr. Chairman. We don't have to.
Yeah, I thought 2 weeks was more than enough notice.
I mean,
and it is. 2 weeks is more than enough notice. And there are two different things. There's one, putting it on the regular agenda with public notice, where 2 weeks should be plenty. And then there's also what Lumen keeps talking about is kind of like you can add it at the beginning of the meeting, but you're not supposed to do that most of the time. Those are only supposed to be for, you know, special circumstances and emergencies. And Mike Kohler is basically saying, you know, look, yeah, you guys can bring anything anytime. I don't know what happened here.
I believe.
But I respect the protocol of not adding things at the last minute to give citizens an opportunity to review it. I mean, I certainly support what you're saying, Mike. So
y'all gonna make this last meeting fun. All right, Commissioner Barry.
Because they're changing leadership.
Well, this your last meeting?
Yeah.
No wonder we've been going so long.
All right. So so far, it's just all been kind of like what happened and wanting answers. We're about to get what I think are the answers, and it's pretty, well, here goes. Commissioner Barry's going to talk for the first time.
So Commissioner Barry, you have a comment?
Yeah. So, Commissioner Hotberger, I mean, there's a, you know, we only have two employees, and neither one of them work for any of us individually. They work for the board as a whole. So the fact that you gave direction that wasn't acted on by one of those and two employees might imply that your colleagues didn't agree with that assessment, or by one of our two employees' interpretations, your colleagues wouldn't agree with that assessment.
Whoa. So you're saying, okay, you got to read between the lines here. But it sounds like what he's saying is Commissioner Hoffberger asked West to put the item on the agenda. And then, I mean, what, West went to Stephen and said, do you think I should put this on the agenda? And Stephen said no, and he didn't. That sounds like that's what he's saying. I hope that's not what happened. I don't know what happened in this case, but it sounds like he's saying if other people don't agree with you, then you don't get your item on the agenda. Well, how do you know whether they agree with you until you put it on the agenda and talk about it? Until you have a chance to persuade somebody? I mean, this is really bad. I mean, in addition to kind of mansplaining that, you know, we only have two employees and this is how it works, like, he's basically implying that the reason this didn't get put on the agenda is because other people in the administration don't want it to be on the agenda. They should not have that kind of power.
You know, I wouldn't expect either one of the only two employees that we have to take my comments as direction. If I can't garner the support of my board, my opinion is irrelevant.
But that's after you have a conversation. That's after it's on the agenda. That's after you're able to talk in the sunshine about it. The inability to get other people on board presupposes that you can actually talk to them. And if she's asking for an item to be on the agenda, she's asking for the opportunity to talk to them. Preventing it before that is not an answer. Now, Wes has already said it's going to be on the next meeting. It's entirely possible that in his mind, he had wanted to talk with her, get some more details. It was okay to wait a couple of weeks, and it's going to be on the next meeting. That's entirely possible. That's just not what Stephen Barry implied. Right? He continues.
I can argue up here. I can advocate for my case. I've been fortunate for some number of years to, you know, maybe be successful at that. At a different point in time, I was perhaps less successful advocating for that. But the fact that your private conversation wasn't immediately acted on by one of those two employees that work for the majority of us, I don't know how that warrants a public admonition like this.
Because any commissioner can instruct the administrator to put an item on the agenda. That's exactly what they're supposed to do. It doesn't matter whether there's a majority on board. You can't know whether there's a majority on board with that because you can't have the conversation yet. If she wants an item, she gets an item. They're all equal. That's how this works. So he's really, like, saying it was inappropriate of her maybe to even think she could get this done. He's conflating giving board direction with a majority vote with an individual commissioner asking for a conversation about something that she thinks is important, which she is entitled to do.
Well, because Allison told me that no one should block a commissioner's item for going on the agenda, I felt like it was important to have a discussion. It's fine if we want to vote no or there's no support, but I don't know how I can garner support from the rest of you if we can't have those discussions.
Sometimes there may not even be support for your discussion,
then
much less the
action. Public. That's fine.
Okay. Again, I don't know, but this is starting to sound like a sunshine violation. This is starting to sound like somebody operated as a conduit and asked other people what they thought, and they weren't interested in having this conversation, so it was kept off the agenda. It doesn't matter whether there's no support for the conversation. That's irrelevant. That comes after. You don't get to squelch other commissioners' agenda items. Even a majority doesn't get to squelch the discussion. I mean, this is really bad.
If you guys don't want to do the rollback right and we don't want to look at options and being more efficient, that's fine. My constituents want that, and I'm continuously asked why we're not doing that. So that's why I put it on the, or requested it go on the agenda.
Okay.
My people want to know. I want to know. Let's talk about it. If you guys don't want to have the conversation, well, tough. If you want to say no in the conversation, well, that's on you politically. But it sure does sound like, and again, I say it sounds like, based on what she's saying, the facts as they happen, and what Stephen Barry is saying, it sounds an awful lot like this was killed internally by other commissioners. Perhaps him. Mike Kohler?
Oh, that was a healthy discussion. I appreciate that.
I don't know if it was healthy.
One at a time. Commissioner May, and then
no,
you.
No, we're done. I mean, it was not healthy. If you're saying, as Stephen said, we have two employees. We have an administrator and we have an attorney. If there's conflicting things in which she's saying that an administrator told her versus what the attorney said to her, then that's conflicting information because there's a lot of things that get passed on this board that my constituents don't like. You know, I mean, you know, and you, but we listen to it, you know, so we can have that. I mean, I'm happy to have a conversation about rollback rates. I'm happy to have that conversation about why we increase our MSBU and then we want to have a rollback rate and how we didn't increase CRA funding. I mean, so if we, but the budget's over. And so, quite frankly, I was not completely happy with the way it all went. But there's nothing that I can do about it. It's been voted on.
And, you know, if he feels like his items have been stifled in the past, if he's not able to get his stuff on the agenda.
But if you ever want to have the conversation, I'm happy to have that conversation.
Well, it will be on the agenda for our 17th meeting.
And I'm fine with that, too, Commissioner Hoffberger. But we normally do that during the budgeting process. But I'm fine to listen to what you want to share with
us. Well, if we want to hire someone to come in and look at things, that's going to take time to study. I mean, even an infrastructure project takes a year to study. So we need to be looking at those decisions now.
Okay. Well, I'll look forward to seeing what Wes brings forward at the next meeting. Commissioner Stroberger, you had your light on?
No, I was just going to say I look forward to having that discussion, too.
Okay.
So Stroberger wants a conversation. Kohler wants a conversation. Lumen May sounds like he didn't know this is all going on. He wants a conversation. Ashley wants a conversation. Sounds like the only person who doesn't want the conversation is D5. And he's trying to blame her for bringing something that's unpopular. How would anybody know that? I've literally had, I got two so far, three so far. I'm looking through four people texting me. They think this sounds like a sunshine violation. I'm just telling you what happened. I don't know whether it is or not, but it's not good. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you now, but if you're on I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, expect about a 9 to 11 minute delay. Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, 7 to 5 minute delay in that one. And also Highway 29 southbound as you approach 9 Mile Road, expect about a 9 to 11 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
What should you look for in a church? Allow me to give you three things. Look for a church that exalts the Savior, a church that equips the saints, and a church that evangelizes the sinner. And by exalt the Savior, I mean a church where Christ is not just prominent, but where he's preeminent in the singing and preaching. And by equip the saints, I'm describing a place where Christians are learning the Bible and are growing in their personal walk with God. By evangelizing the sinner, I'm describing a church where the congregation is together focused on giving the good news of the gospel to the community around them. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to get involved in a church with these three ingredients, and you'll find yourself in a healthy church.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from cosmetology and plumbing to nursing and aviation airframe mechanics. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. Go here. Get there.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show. They'll be talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, and how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
7:30 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne has got a headline or two for us. David?
Well, the government shutdown is over. President Trump has signed the legislation after it went through Congress. And federal workers will be getting back to work. The FAA is now halting flight reductions at U.S. airports as well.
Very good. We'll be talking with Mike Wood from the Pensacola Police Department coming up next.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Gianna Gelosi. The House voting last night to end the longest shutdown in our country's history. President Trump quickly signing it into law while ripping Democrats for keeping the shutdown going as long as it did.
We're sending a clear message that we will never give in to extortion, because that's what it was.
The bill funds the government through January 30th and SNAP food assistance through September. It does not include an extension of Obamacare subsidies. But some of the ripple effects are still being felt at the airports across the country.
The FAA doesn't have to increase those flight cuts like it was originally planning to, though they still remain in place at 6%. Of course, this is all because the government is back open and those air traffic controllers are going to get paid again.
That is Fox Business's Grady Trimble reporting from Reagan National Airport in Arlington, Virginia. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 55 degrees right now. The sun's shining on a beautiful Thursday morning. A judge has denied a motion for a new trial for the man convicted of murdering a woman outside of Mugs and Jugs last year. The PNJ reporting that Circuit Court Judge Amy Broderson rejected Christian Ketchup's request for a new trial, saying he received a fair trial. Ketchup was convicted of second-degree murder for fatally shooting Tierra Binion 10 times in the bar's parking lot in August of 2023. His attorney argued that the trial was unfair, but the judge disagreed. Ketchup now faces a potential life sentence at his sentencing hearing next week. Now, beachgoers at Gulf State Park are reacting to potential parking rate increases that take effect next year. Daily passes will be going up from $10 to $15. Annual passes will double from $100 to $200. Reaction has been mixed. Some people worry the hikes could keep families away. Others say the price is reasonable compared to other entertainment costs. Residents in Orange Beach and veterans will still be eligible for free annual passes. The new rates go into effect at the beginning of the year. Santa Rosa Medical Center has earned an A safety grade from the Leapfrog Group. They're a nonprofit national watchdog that evaluates hospitals on patient safety. It's the only hospital in Escambia or Santa Rosa County to receive an A rating from the group. The grade is based on evidence-based measures of medical errors, accidents, injuries, and infections. Hospital leaders say it reflects their staff's commitment to putting patient safety first. Leapfrog updates hospital safety grades twice a year and publishes them online for the public. Northwest Florida is embracing artificial intelligence for managing its roadways. Officials breaking ground on the Regional Traffic Management Center yesterday. Once it's done, it'll use AI and prototype technology to revolutionize how traffic is handled across the area. The facility on North W Street will control more than 380 traffic lights across two counties.
Currently, there's manual switching of signals, and on the emergency preemption side, it's connected directly to the emergency vehicles and the signals. But in the future, it's going to be a situation where the system learns based on the cameras, looking at traffic patterns, even including pedestrians walking back and forth across a roadway at a signalized intersection. It will recognize a near miss of an automobile and a bicycle or an automobile and a pedestrian and can make adjustments to the signals at that time.
Santa Rosa County Commissioner Colton Wright. Officials say that center will blend cutting-edge technology with human oversight. It'll be staffed around the clock, and AI will do the heavy lifting. That system should be operational in a few years. Well, some new details on that tragic car accident in Ybor City are coming into focus. In that accident, four people were killed and a dozen people injured. We now know two of the people that were taken to the hospital were actually students at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School back in 2018 during the Marjory Stoneman Douglas mass shooting. Bob Dietrich is the father of Connor and Brandon Dietrich. He tells Tampa Bay 10 that Connor suffered some skull fractures, a broken shoulder and a clavicle, and a lacerated spleen.
We're still waiting on results from some MRIs to determine the level of injury that might have happened to the brain. We just don't know. I don't know if I'm going to have my son back.
And Connor remains in the hospital. He and his brother, along with a longtime friend, were outside of a nightclub last Friday when a car driven by Silas Sampson plowed into the crowd at a high rate of speed. Sampson is charged with vehicular homicide. He'll be in court tomorrow at 7:35. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Just dealing with one accident right now that just happened on Walnut Avenue and Detroit Boulevard. It's causing some roadblock in that area on Detroit Boulevard. So just be aware of that. And I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, seeing about a 7 to 9 minute delay. And Highway 29 southbound headed toward 9 Mile, expect about 11 to 15 minute delay. This traffic report is brought to you by White Sands Electric, reminding you that fall is the best time to check your breakers or add surge protection. Safety first. WhiteSandsElectric.com.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at some partly cloudy skies today, high near 74 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 55. For Friday, nice sunny skies with a high near 75 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 56. Going into Saturday, plenty of sunshine, high near 75. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. We've got 55 and sunny skies right now. Our next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jim Chesko with Your Money Now. A months-long strike by Boeing machinists could end this afternoon after some 3,200 unionized workers vote on the jetmaker's latest contract offer. The union's negotiating committee is recommending that members accept this offer. A simple majority is needed for passage. Quarterly results out of Webtoon Entertainment are not all that entertaining, according to investors. The online comics platform posted weaker than expected revenue, sending Webtoon shares cratering 24% ahead of the market open. Once again this year, the online platform CableTV.com is searching for a chief of cheer whose job will require watching 25 holiday movies in 25 days. The individual chosen for that task will be paid $2,500 and get free subscriptions to DirecTV, Disney Plus, and Hulu. You have through December 3rd to apply for that cushy gig. Wall Street futures are slightly lower this morning. That's Your Money Now.
If my dog Ginger could speak English, you'd hear her say she wants her own doggy vacation at Play and Stay Pet Daycare when I go on vacation. But since she doesn't speak English, I'm going to translate. What's that? Play and Stay Pet Daycare is the only pet daycare in Pensacola with an on-site veterinarian. And they're cage-free with large indoor and outdoor play areas where you love to run and romp with your friends. So where are they? That's right. Play and Stay Pet Daycare is at 4220 North Davis Highway, across from Bailey's Farmers Market, online at olivebranchpethospital.com. Who's a good girl? Yeah.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
This week, let's talk about the best places to catch holiday lights, what you can do to help visitors with the Visit Pensacola app, and how to show Thanksgiving the way to beach.
Today at 10, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Exciting news. The News Radio Pensacola app has just been updated with a fresh new look. Now it's easier than ever to stay connected with our community. Check the weather. Get instant access to local news stores.
The city appears to be ready.
Engaging podcasts. And various streaming options. All at your fingertips. Whether you're at home, on the go, or anywhere in between, our app keeps you informed and engaged. Download the updated News Radio Pensacola app today. From News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He joins us every Thursday at about this time. Hey, Mike, welcome back, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So, obviously, the sort of big, awful story of the week is that somewhere on Davis Highway in a business, there was a body found. And it looks now like this is a murder, and we've got a reward. So tell us what happened. What do we know?
Well, that's all true. We don't know why. We're looking into it. The victim received multiple stab wounds, and the investigators are working on it. And right now, what we have are the images that we've sent out to you through the local media, and we're glad we have those images. And you know, not a lot to work with, but better than nothing. We're just urging anybody that might recognize this individual, or they think they might recognize the individual. You don't have to be for sure, to give us a call at the Pensacola Police Department or call Crime Stoppers.
Now, this was somebody what showed up at work and found him. Is that right?
Yeah, they showed up to work Monday morning and found him inside the business.
And where was this? I looked it up when the address came out, but I just can't remember in my head. Where was this about on Davis Highway?
It's on Davis near Fairfield.
Near Fairfield.
Not too far from Fairfield.
Okay. And he was an employee in the building. Is that right?
That's my understanding.
Okay. All right. So at this point, really all we know is that somewhere in prior, he was stabbed and killed. They've identified the victim. And now I think it's the family that's offering a $10,000 reward. But I assume Crime Stoppers has money on this too, right?
Yeah, they are, and it's important to keep those two separate. The family is offering $10,000 for what they say is information for an arrest. Crime Stoppers will also pay a reward for any information that leads to an arrest on this situation. So, important thing is, if you use the Crime Stoppers number or the website or the P3 app, please do not tell us who you are. And Andrew, we've had that many times before. The moment they identify themselves, we have to quit communicating, and we cannot pay, even if the information is right. So it's very important to keep those two separate. The family is offering $10,000 for any information on helping us solve this crime.
Yeah, and the anonymity of Crime Stoppers is essential to making the highest likelihood that people who know something will say something, because so many people are afraid of retaliation, reprisal, being outed, all that kind of stuff. And so preserving that and being really vigilant about it is what protects that system from operating, right, or for operating.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's been around since the 80s, and nobody has ever been outed. There's been defense attorneys try to subpoena records and that sort of thing, and it's been struck down in court case after court case. So it's very, very important. Just give us the information. We don't want to know where you live. We certainly don't want to know who you are. We don't want your phone number or your email, any of that. So please, if you use Crime Stoppers, be very careful and just give us the information we need on that individual.
In a situation like that, can the family give money through Crime Stoppers? Can they call you and say, hey, we'd like to raise the Crime Stopper payout by $10,000? Is that allowed?
No, that's separate. We keep it totally separate. And we've had families do this before, and that's why I'm trying to stress that now. We keep those two separate. So in case, you know, with the family offering, they can pay out anybody for any reason, and whether you know who the person is or not, you know, the rules are theirs. But Crime Stoppers has their own set of rules that we have to adhere by.
Okay, very good. And again, the funding, just that slice of they can't amplify the Crime Stopper reward with private funds.
No, they cannot. And sort of waiting for, and we've seen this before, people will wait to call Crime Stoppers hoping that our reward goes up. Mm. It doesn't work that way. We have a point system. Every crime is assigned a different point system so that the rewards are handed out the same across the board. So you can call us in 30 minutes or you can call us in 3 years and the reward's going to be the same.
If multiple people, and I'm just kind of curious because we're talking about this, if multiple people come forward with Crime Stopper reports, how does that work? Do they split the money? They don't each get the total amount, right?
No, it's the first one. You're issued a number, a code number. It's a lengthy number.
Yeah.
And those are in succession. So whoever called and gave that information first is the one that will get the reward. That's, once again, why we say don't sit on that information.
Yeah, don't wait because you may have lost your chance. Very good. We're talking to Mike Wood, the public information officer of the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Still dealing with the accident that happened on Walnut Avenue and Detroit Boulevard. That's causing some delays on Highway 29. Going southbound toward I-10. So just be prepared for that. That's about a 12 to 15 minute delay. And also I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 experiencing about a 7 to 9 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Based on the information that was shared with the media from this homicide, security cameras are an essential tool for what you guys do, both outside and even inside of buildings, right?
Yeah, I can't talk about that enough, Andrew. And the price of these cameras has gone way down in the past 10 years. If your business or your home doesn't have security cameras, please don't wait. And it's so many times after we've taken a burglary report at a business or a home, they're like, so how do I put cameras in? Where do I go? What's the best brand? It's too late. The crime has already happened there. Now, you know, of course, it could happen if a second crime happens. But what we want people to do is think closely about this. Black Friday's coming up. They're going to be on sale. They're going to be even cheaper. But it's very important for your home and your business to have these cameras, maybe not on the inside if you don't want though, if you feel uncomfortable about that, but certainly on the outside. Be careful where you place them. We have officers that specialize in that sort of training that can come to your business or your home and show you the best place to put these cameras that will help solve a crime should something happen on your property. And it could be something as simple as a porch pirate theft, which that's gonna gear up here in the next month or so. So get those cameras now before something happens.
And, you know, one of the things that, you know, you are always paying attention to sort of new trends, new problems, things that you're seeing. And you said that you have learned, you and I were talking before the show, that you have learned there is a new problem with regards to key fobs and the modern technology that cars use for their security.
Yeah, I just came back from a trip to Germany, was talking to a German police officer and about different trends. And it's, you know, it's funny how this, it doesn't really matter where you are. It's the same problems. Each of us have the same issues. And one of the things that they're going through, and I've looked it up and we've had some issues with it here, is the something that's called a relay attack. And that's where people will go to your home. If you have a newer vehicle in the driveway, most of these newer vehicles don't use keys anymore. They use a key fob or a push button on the dash. If you have that fob in your pocket, all you have to do is walk up to your car. It recognizes that signal coming from your key fob, and it opens the door. It lets you start the car and drive off. Well, what these people are doing in relay attacks is they will see that newer car in the driveway. They will take a device and stand on the sidewalk or stand in your driveway and intercept that signal that key fob is constantly emitting while it's sitting there, and they will clone another fob, and they will open your car. The car obviously just thinks it's you, and it's going to open up, it's going to start, and they will be able to drive off with your vehicle.
That's terrible. So what's the, like, first of all, how far is the distance? Because I would think that the fobs, even though they are constantly emitting, aren't emitting for all that far, but that's what, you know, sort of you tell me. What's the distance and risk, and then is there a thwart? Is there a defense against this?
Well, it can go from 10 feet to 10 yards, and you'd be surprised at the amount of people that walk in, they get home from work, they take their key fob out, and they put it in a basket right next to the front door.
Not me. And I put it right under my tinfoil hat so that I'm safe, that the Faraday cage is going to solve everything.
Yeah, well, you say that the tinfoil hat, that actually might work. A Faraday pouch is the best thing. That's a pouch that's designed and lined with metal that will block the signal. But, you know, if you don't, a metal cookie container or anything like that, but I want to urge people, if they're going to put it in a metal box or anything metal, to go test it first. And how do you do that? put the fob in that metal container, walk out to your car, and see if your car will unlock just by that box being closed. If it doesn't, then it's working. If it does, then you need to have something that's a little bit thicker and move it away from the front of the house, because that's where the bad guys are going to be standing with their intercepting device. Just move it back and further in the house. And you can cover it up with tinfoil. That does seem to work a little bit.
You know, that's a great suggestion, is to take it out in the box, but find out just how much distance that will impede, if at all. But I got to tell you, Mike, I don't think that you meant to do this, but you have inadvertently made every single grandmother in our listening area scream at the top of her lungs, "Finally! Finally!" All of those unused blue Danish cookie tins that they have been collecting for the last 1,000 years have a purpose, and now they can give them to the kids and grandkids and solve the technology issue that they didn't realize grandma was going to be able to solve for them. Did you realize you've done that?
No, but isn't grandma awesome? And she can give these away as Christmas gifts this Christmas. Finally get rid of them, unload them, because her grandkids are driving cars with key fobs. So you know what? That's I didn't realize it, but wow.
It's the hot new Christmas gift. I see grannies getting on eBay all day now. You know, hey, solve the fob clone problem. Relay attacks, no problem. I got you covered, Danish cookie tin. All right. that's literally what you were saying, is in a cookie tin. So I love it. Last thing we always like to end with, a cop myth or a did you know. I got one for you this week. It's always TV.
Okay.
TV is always the source of my cop myths, because, you know, all this crazy stuff. In cop TV and movies, they are constantly stopping and eating fast food. They're getting the burrito, they're getting the tacos, they're getting the burger. They're sharing, one guy buys and the other guy buys, whatever, all the time. Do cops ever bag a lunch? Do you ever bring a lunchbox, or are you always eating out when you're on the road patrolling?
The officers that bring lunch boxes, and it's been many years since I was on patrol, but this is what I remember, are the officers that eat healthy. The rest of us would go to Burger King or McDonald's. You know, you're doing what's called a 10-10. You're telling dispatch you're going to go get something to eat, but you're available should a call come out. And every time some call's going to come out, I can't tell you how many Big Macs I've had to throw in the trash and run out the door. So, the ones that are bringing their lunch usually eat a lot healthier than the rest of us.
You know, I remember that when I went on patrol with a PPD, and he had brought his lunch, and we stopped off at the Tom Thumb or the Circle K, I don't remember which, and he heated up in the microwave, and it was healthy. It was a like bodybuilder kind of guy, and he didn't buy the junk food. He brought it from home and made what was appropriate for his diet. So that's interesting. Mike Wood, Pensacola Police Department, Public Information Officer, and savior of grandmothers everywhere. Mike, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
You're welcome.
7:52 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
Anderson Subaru has some outstanding fall offers on select 2025 Subarus. Choose 1.9 for 48 or 2.9 for 72 on Foresters. Get 1.9 for 63 on Crosstrek. Or choose 0% for 36 or 0.9 for 72 on Outbacks. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College, on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1, to get answers to your retirement planning questions.
Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app, to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
We're going to have such a good time. It'll be like this one time at band camp when we all had a campfire.
Oh, I hope I don't lose you. Please stay. I want you, I need you, oh God. Don't take these beautiful things that I've got. Please stay.
So good. Did I ever tell you, John, I went to listen to the whole Benson Boone album?
No.
Yeah, because that's what I do. I find a good song, you go listen to the album. Just like back in the old day, you just buy the album, and now you don't have to buy it, you just listen. And it's like two songs, and I thought the rest of it was going to be equally fantastic. It's not.
Oh.
So I was so disappointed. I was like, yeah, do more of this. It's got this amazing voice. Anyway, 437-1620, John Pickens, that's Traffic on the Fives. John?
Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barberry Plumbing. At 477-8782. Still dealing with the accident that happened on Detroit Boulevard.
Why?
And Walnut
Why do you
Avenue.
Say it like that?
It's causing some delays on Detroit. So just be aware, both in the east and west direction. Just wanted to let you know about that.
It's not Cervantes.
Well,
or Cervantes. It's Detroit.
It's Detroit. All right. Southern Texan right here. All right, so I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing that construction delay, and Highway 90 southbound as you head into Pensacola. Expect about a 10 to 12-minute delay just getting into Pensacola. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
But you watch the NFL?
I do.
It's not the Detroit Lions.
Well, they can say it however they want.
You know,
I should correct them every time.
You know what my mom always said about that? She says, you're putting the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
That makes a difference. Yep.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says the Trump administration will be making announcements on affordability soon. He said Wednesday that Americans will see substantial announcements over the next few days for items not grown in the U.S. He did not give details on how prices will be lowered. House Speaker Mike Johnson says a bill compelling the Justice Department to release all of the Epstein files will receive a vote on the House floor next week, with the discharge petition now reaching the 218 signatures needed. Johnson is required to put the bill on the floor soon. The Latin Grammy Awards are coming up soon. The 26th annual award show has
been waiting for months.
MGM Grand Garden in Las Vegas tonight, apparently. Puerto Rican superstar and Super Bowl 60 halftime show headliner Bad Bunny is apparently nominated for 12 awards at this at the Latin Grammys tonight.
Also notably American.
Yes.
Bad Bunny, American. All right. Yeah. David, thanks so much for the update. Goodness.
Did you see this listener
text
it in?
Yeah, somebody says, emphasizing the D in Detroit is perfectly acceptable. Anybody from the city will tell you that. Don't listen to that hater McKay. Oh, really? Where was I born?
I don't know.
I was born in Pontiac, Michigan. My father was a pastor in Detroit. So lived there on Tideman in Detroit.
They texted it in.
You're the poser, not me.
Somebody
says, say Detroit however you want. Just make sure you have a GPS while you're driving through.
Yeah, for sure.
That's true. Somebody else had a good suggestion that with the Faraday cage idea for the key fobs protecting them, somebody should make a product that will hold your key in the fob, in the enclosure case, and protect it. Of course, then it's difficult to get out of it. But I thought, no, we already have the product. The Apple iPhone pocket.
Well, that's not a Faraday cage.
No, but hear me out.
I'm trying.
If you're going to sell a Thneed, why not lace it with some metal, The pocket is perfect already. You could throw your keys in underneath the phone and just put some, I don't know, tinsel in there.
But I can't go through TSA with it.
Well, I mean, I can't make everything work for you, John.
Okay. All right, I tried.
Just next time around, let's make sure that it's not Cervantes. It's not Detroit.
It is.
Let's make sure that we get the emphasis on the correct syllable. We'll be back in just a minute. Stick around with more vocabulary talk.
Listen on air at 9.